Welcome to New Creation Fellowship's Proclamation Podcast. The vision of New Creation Fellowship is to live out heaven's cultural values through creative, redemptive innovation, so that people from all nations may experience the glorious reality of new creation in Christ. Next time you're in the Orlando area, we'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning liturgy. Just visit our website at newcreationorl.org for more information on NCF. And now, may you receive the proclamation of the Word of God as it truly is the Word of God.
Pipe dreams. Pipe dreams are defined as an unattainable, fanciful hope or plan. Pipe dreams are defined as an unattainable, fanciful hope or plan. I myself, based on that definition, had many pipe dreams growing up. One time I had a pipe dream of being a world-renowned hip-hop artist. But I wanted to be a Christian one though. I ain't even really walk with Jesus at the time, but I wanted to make rapping for Jesus tough. And my first rhyme was very corny. And if you heard it, you would know that my hip-hop dreams were a pipe dream. It went, Jesus Christ is the only way. If you want to go the right way, go with him. That's what I say. Jump fire, right? I can keep going. Every day I had to take it straight up play by play. And every play I had to take it straight up day by day. I mean, it's just a little something, something, you know what I mean? Y'all want to know the whole song, don't y'all?
We gotta drop it.
We'll say that for later. I had pipe dreams of being a hoopster. And then the Lord decided to make me 5'6½ with no athletic ability at all. I'm quick. But like horizontally is where my athleticism is. I cannot jump at all. And I had pipe dreams of making a lot of money. Everybody who knows me knows that was just a pipe dream. So those were all unattainable and fanciful hopes and plans. And I praise God that those were all unattainable and fanciful hopes and plans, because I don't think I would have walked with Jesus the same had he given me the hope and plan that I desired.
Come on, God. Yeah, that's good.
Perhaps you had a pipe dream growing up. An unattainable, fanciful hope, a plan, a desire that you had that you thought would be amazing. Maybe it was to be a world-renowned singer. You thought you would be blowing like Whitney Houston, traveling and filling up stadiums. Yeah. And God said, nah, I'm going to use your voice in the church. I don't know if you had, I remember Pastor Meech telling me he wanted to be an R&B singer. Ain't you had a group too, Doc? No, you didn't do the group. You didn't do the group. Men the boys. we all had them unattainable, fanciful hopes and plans. And God said, nah, I got something different for you.
Yeah.
Because pipe dreams seem to never come true. And the reason pipe dreams never come true is because pipe dreams are birthed from people who can never make the dreams come true.
Come on, Doc.
But we come to a text where two different brothers, twins, experience, both of them, a sort of pipe dream. And yet, the latter one seems to have a kind of pipe dream that actually comes true. But the reason why his pipe dream will come true is because the one who birthed it is actually able to fulfill the dream.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
If I can just somehow, some way help you to see this text in 2 points, I would preach to you from 2 pipe dreams, Esau's pipe dream and Jacob's pipe dream. And by the time we're through, I pray that you will only lean into the latter. It begins with Esau's pipe dream. And Esau's pipe dream can be entitled, if we want to use that definition, a fanciful plan. It's a fanciful plan because Esau is going to try to strategize a way to accomplish the dream that he desires. And many of us have fanciful plans.
Yeah.
We have a strategy to try to accomplish the dreams that we desire. We have various kinds of dreams, dreams for success. We have various kinds of dreams for our families. And some dreams are bad and some dreams are good. But the problem with all of these dreams is when they are fanciful plans, it's all about our strategy and not God's vision.
Wow. Yeah.
So Esau is going to try to strategize a plan in order to regain the favor, the approval, the pleasure of his father and his mother. Wow. But what we will see is that you cannot strategize approval.
Yeah.
Approval must come from the father alone.
Wow,
I want you to notice how this was birthed. It was actually birthed out of jealousy. And I don't know if you guys have been well acquainted with movies recently, but there's another movie that has recently come out that has become a fan favorite for our family. And it's been this movie called Super Mario Brothers. It's one of my favorite movies right now, the Super Mario Brothers, because it was a childhood almost addiction, if I can be honest with you guys.
Yeah, come on.
I used to play Super Mario Brothers, specifically 1, 2, and 3, but 3 was my favorite.
Yeah.
Super Mario Brothers 3, you had Mario and Luigi, which I don't know if y'all knew, are twin brothers. And they both had or brought into this world, this other world, through these pipes. And it's almost like they're brought into a dream world through pipes, these two twins. Mm-hmm. And so we come to a text about two twins who both have pipe dreams. And I hope that you can see that the one dream is actually inferior to the other. And the reason why it is inferior to the other is because this dream was birthed out of jealousy. These two twins, like Mario and Luigi, Esau and Isaac, are always battling with one another, always beefing with one another, always scheming against one another. And Rebecca hears this promise that the older will serve the younger. I am sure she passed that promise along to Isaac, but Isaac don't really like that plan. So Isaac decides to strategize his own plan to bless the son that he liked the most. So he goes along with it. He goes to try to bless the son that he liked the most, Esau, but the promise was for the younger.
Yeah, wow.
So through a scheme, through deception, yeah. God, who is sovereign, uses sin to accomplish his sovereign will.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't know if you know that you have a God who is always in charge, who doesn't have to work around sin and scheming. He can actually use sin and scheming to accomplish his salvific will.
Wow.
And if you don't believe me, look at the cross where there was a lot of sin and scheming. And yet through the sin and scheming, your redemption was paid for.
Amen. Wow. Amen. My God. Thank you, Jesus.
So he uses evil. He uses wickedness. He uses sin and scheming within this family to accomplish the promise. But now, Isaac gets a redo. He gets to make right on what he should have done from the beginning. He gets to go back and do it right this time. And I want you to notice how this happens. It says, verse 1, then Isaac called, not Esau, but Jacob. See, the first time he blessed Jacob, it was on accident. This time he's blessing Jacob on purpose. It says he called Jacob and blessed him and directed him. He said, you must not take a wife from the Canaanite women, arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take as your wife from there one of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. God Almighty, bless you. There goes that blessing again. And make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may become a company of peoples. He's passing his own blessing over to Jacob. He's, in other words, blessing him from his soul, which we learned last week. May he give the blessing of Abraham to you and your offspring with you, that you may take possession of the land of your sojournings that God gave to Abraham. Thus Isaac sent Jacob away. He went to Padan Aram to Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob, and Esau's mother. In other words, he sent him to go get a cousin to wed. Now I want you to notice the jealousy that's setting in. Here it is, Esau is his father's favorite. Esau and Isaac are like this. They're close. They're tight with it. Jacob and Rebekah are tight. There's division within the household. While the father loves one twin, The mother loves another. The father gets deceived into blessing the one who was actually deserving of the blessing in the first place because of the promise. And then here comes Isaac, finally making right on what he should have done in the first place, which he actually goes back and blesses Jacob on purpose. Now, it's interesting, as he blesses Jacob, he doesn't just bless him, but he sends him out with instructions. This, as a side note, is instructive for us. That God never just gives you a blessing, but he also gives you a blessing that comes with instructions. And oftentimes we like to receive the blessing, but we don't like to obey the instructions. There was a scene in the book of Acts where Paul is on a boat, and this boat is about to be shipwrecked. And an angel comes to Paul late at night, and he says, everybody on this boat will be saved. Listen to what I'm instructing you. Everybody must stay on the boat. So he goes and tells everyone the instructions that came from the messenger, the angel. And after the people receive the instructions from the messenger, from the angel, they listen to the instructions and they all receive the blessing. Now, the question on the table is, why were they blessed? Was it because they obeyed the instructions, or was it because they were promised a blessing? That's questioning, isn't it? Makes you have to think. In God's economy, yes is the answer. That it is critical for us that we always obey the good news. Yeah. Now, how do you obey good news? If it's good news, it's something you should receive. But if you got to obey it, it's something you got to do. So how do we put this together? In God's economy, everything that you receive, you must participate in through obedience.
That's good.
Yeah. So he receives a blessing that comes with instructions. Do you just like the blessing, or do you receive the instructions as well? So Isaac makes right on what he should have made right in on chapter 27. He does in chapter 28. Yeah. And I want you to see something beautiful about this. God, in doing this, is actually giving Isaac a redo. A second chance.
Yeah.
You know, when I was growing up, we used to have the regular NES, the Nintendo Entertainment System. Anybody had an NES? It was all, everything was boxy, trapezoids. The controller was just a stick. It's just one rectangle. Just had a few buttons, A, B. Select, start. Up, down, left, right. And on this console, it had two buttons. Power, reset.
Yep.
Now, out of all of the buttons, there was only one button I liked. That reset button.
Yes, sir. My God.
Because when the game wasn't going like I wanted it to go, I knew I could always start over.
Right.
I want you to know, in the kingdom of God, there really is no reset button. Because God does not let you go back and fix what you already messed up.
Come on.
But there is a restore button.
Yeah, yeah.
That God can actually proactively fix what you retroactively messed up. And so glad am I in my soul that God put a restore button in the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Without a restore button, I would still be a weed smoker. Without a restore button, I would still be a whoremonger. Without a restore button, I would still be a deceiver just like Jacob. But thanks be to God, he put a restore button in the kingdom of God.
Thank you, Father.
But whenever one person receives the experience of the restore button, somebody gonna be jealous. Notice the text, verse 6. Now Esau saw that Isaac saw that Isaac saw that Isaac saw that Isaac saw that Isaac. You want to know one of the craziest patterns in all of Scripture? What happens when your eyes get fixated on the wrong thing?
Yeah, that's good. Ooh, from Genesis 3.
It started in Genesis 3. Thank you, my sister. All the way back to the garden.
Yeah, yeah.
God gave a command in their hearing. But because they started listening to somebody else, that person who was in their ear took their eyes off the one who first gave them the commandment.
Wow. Yeah.
And as they listened to the wrong voice, their eyes got fixated on the wrong thing, and then they did the wrong action.
Yeah.
Can I just say something, y'all? Our eyes are fixated oftentimes to what we are listening to. So it begins with who you listen to, though. And then somehow, some way, it moves to your eyes, and your eyes get locked in on something. And once your eyes are locked in, it ain't no telling how far your actions will go. I know it got quiet there. Because maybe some of y'all lived that out. Doing things that you said, I would never do this in my lifetime. Compromising in ways that you said you never would. And it is all about what you saw. But this text ain't just generally about sinning and seeing and sinning, but it's specifically about seeing and sinning through this thing called jealousy. He saw Isaac blessing Jacob, and what he saw made him jealous to the point where he started to take action. It wasn't birthed out of a promise. It wasn't birthed out of a vision from God. He had, here it is, a pipe dream, a fanciful plan that somehow, some way, I am going to regain the approval of my father. Somehow I can, through strategy, through a plan, redeem my birthright that I gave away through a poor decision. Somehow, some way, I am going to redeem my blessing that was taken away through someone else's deception. Somehow, some way, I am going to redeem the approval of my dad, which was taken away. In all of that, I believe, because he finally started being obedient to the promise. Whatever the case, Esau here is trying to strategize a way to get in on the blessing once again, and it just ain't gonna happen. Notice the text. Now Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Paddan Aram to take a wife from there. And that as he blessed him, he directed him, you must not take a wife from the Canaanite women. And that Jacob had obeyed his father and mother and had gone to Paddan Aram. Now I think that gives us a little bit of insight into maybe perhaps Isaac and Rebekah did indeed tell Esau, hey, please go get a wife not from the Canaanite women. And he just didn't obey. Because here the text is saying that he saw that Jacob obeyed. So there seems to be a contrast in the text between Jacob's actions and Esau's. So Esau, because he did not obey, and Jacob, because he did obey, now Esau is jealous because of Jacob's obedience. I don't know if you remember some brothers who jealousy was stirred up because one obeyed and received a blessing and the other disobeyed and did not. I don't know if you remember in Genesis 4, right after Genesis 3, a brother kills another because one obeyed and received a blessing and the other disobeyed and did not receive a blessing. Friends, this is a mirror image of Cain and Abel. But I want you to notice the text. So when Esau saw that the Canaanite women did not please Isaac, his father, Saul again. Esau, because of what he saw, went to Ishmael and took as his wife, besides the wives he had, added wives, supplemented wives, the daughter of Ishmael, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth. Now, I want you to notice something. This is how, please slow down with me. Let me just take my time with this. This is how strategy actually works. Human strategy works like this all the time. You see something. You watch it. You notice the results that work for them. And then you try to do the exact same thing in order to produce the exact same results. So you go out and you try to do the thing. Now I want you to notice what he does still ain't what Jacob did, because just because you added a wife don't delete the fact that you already had some.
That's good.
What Esau is hoping for, what he is planning for, his fanciful plan is redemption by addition. Help me to preach this, Lord Jesus. Redemption by addition is what all cultures and ideologies and religions are trying to sell you. It is a pipe dream. That no matter what sins you did in the past, if you can just add wives, if you can just add the right stuff, it'll overpower the bad stuff that you did in the past. And Esau is going to learn a hard and difficult lesson. That you cannot fix your past. You know how we add wives? And I've been seeing it all over culture, by the way. Can I talk about black people for a second, just for a second? Black people, say what's up. Black people, say what's up. One more time, say what's up. I'm talking to y'all real quick, just for a second. I just got to talk about black people. Y'all cool with this? All right. Let's have a quick conversation about Hebrew Israelites. Let's just talk real quick. Because it's been heavy on my heart for years. Like being in Philly, it was like a joke in comparison to Islam. Real rap. And I was like taking over the culture. And I'm seeing people who are trying to be faithful, even giving themselves over to it. Can I just tell you something? She said, please. Can I just tell you something? The plan of redemption was never for you to get the Messiah and then add Jewishness to the Messiah so you can somehow get a better salvation. That's adding wives. And it blows my mind, because the dude who actually knows his Jewishness, we just out here guessing. Can I just be real? We just out here guessing. This dude told me that one day, you know what I'm saying, like in Africa, specifically the African-American Africans, though. How'd that work? We the real Jews, for real, though. Okay, cool. It sounds silly when we say it like this, but let somebody say it. Here's Paul's language with plausible speech. It's like, dad, that makes sense. Now, he don't got no DNA to prove it, though. But because it's logical, we are literally, hear me, going behind the Messiah. Back to a time when we had none. In order to try to gain the salvation that he already purchased. And here's Paul. If Paul, help me, Jesus. If Paul is Jewish, and you want to say Jewish people black, then he's blacker than all of us. And Paul says in Philippians chapter 3,
come on.
He says, we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God, glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. And then he just go in. If anybody want to put confidence in the flesh, and he's talking about exactly what we're going through right now, black people, where my black people at? Don't give me a quieter one now. He says, yo, if anybody has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day. Of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In other words, to be a true Israelite, you have to know your genealogy. We out here guessing genealogies and thinking we can be pure. So we already lost. If you don't got your genealogy to prove it, they like, you ain't one of us. So if you're trying to put your stock in that, you already lost. But Paul is like, I actually know my genealogy. I know both sides of my situation. of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, Jew of Jews, Israelite of Israelite, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. He says, if you want to do the Hebrew Israelite game, I win. But whatever gain, addition, adding wives, I had, I counted as subtraction, loss, for the sake of Christ. Paul said, I had it and I'll press subtract. You say you don't have it and you're trying to add?
Come on.
Help us.
Wow.
Come on. We out here adding wives. There is no such thing of redemption by addition.
Yeah.
It just don't work.
Yeah.
We out here adding wives, hoping that somehow our good actions are going to overcome the years of sin that we had.
Wow. Yeah.
Individuals. Mm-hmm. We out here adding wives, hoping in our societal culture that a few conversations about race is going to delete our past racism.
Yeah.
Come on.
Until we see how hopeless our situation is, we're going to keep adding wives.
Wow.
Yeah.
But when you realize this ain't the way into the blessing.
Yeah.
It just don't work like this. Yeah. That is a fanciful plan. That is a pipe dream.
Yeah.
Until we realize that we're going to keep adding wives. But once you realize, snap, this don't work.
Wow. Yeah.
You know it don't work even on a human level.
Yeah.
How many times have you tried to add on top of something to do the right thing in order to find the approval of your boss? Yeah. And you be doing all this stuff and he still don't like you.
Right.
Still don't like you. You did all this stuff and they still don't like you.
Right.
You got friends and you've been doing all this stuff to try to overcome the one sin that you sinned against them and they still mad at you. Yeah. Family members, the same thing. It just don't work. Why? Because you can't fix the past. But what we can't do retroactively, the gospel through Jesus Christ does for us proactively. For he was slain before the foundation of the world.
Hallelujah.
The plan was always Jesus.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
The hope was always Jesus.
Yeah.
The dream was always Jesus. Yeah. And Jesus ain't no pipe dream.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Come on, Doc.
There was one game I used to play on Nintendo. I just saw it. It was ranked top 5 most difficult games in history to play. It was a game called Battletoads. And me and my brother used to always play Battletoads because it was one of the few games where you could play 2 players at the same time. We had split screen and all that at that time. No split screen. You just got to put 2 people on the screen and they just kind of like merge against each other. And I remember this particular game because it was a weird game too. It was like Battletoads. Like they all had weird names like Rash and Zitz and Pimple. So me and my brother, I used to always play with Rash, and he would always play with Zitz. And we would get on this joint, and there was this one motorcycle stage that I couldn't stand. Because if you're playing in co-op mode, you actually share a life. That if they die, you die too. You can't beat the game if your partner dies. So you would, it's supposed to be a game that brings family together. But you can see how it'll always just start fights.
Yeah.
Man, you trash, dog. Just stay on. Because when you have to share a life, it becomes very difficult for the person who actually know what they're doing.
Come on, God. Come on, God.
Jesus sent the one who knew what he was doing.
Come on.
And through faith, he shared a life with us.
Yeah.
Come on.
So that because of our sin, he died.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But because of his perfection, his innocence was like a cheat code. Yeah. Yeah, when he rose from the dead, we rise with him, never to die again. The only way into the blessing is what I'm trying to say to you is through co-op mode. You are going to have to co-op yourself to Jesus, or you're going to have to remain under a curse.
Come on.
What do you desire? You can either try to enter the blessing by force, or you can enter the blessing by faith. Which would you choose? The fanciful plan, the pipe dream, or God's vision? After Esau's pipe dream, we now see Jacob's pipe dream. But his pipe dream is a different kind of pipe dream. And we see all of this text all the way to verse 22 in three different ways. But Jacob, I want you to notice three things. Jacob sees, what Jacob says, and what Jacob does. Verse 10, Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. Haran has come up multiple times through Jacob's ancestors. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. Say dreamed. And behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. A lot of them jokers. And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. You know, on the controller, up, down, left, right. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you. Say with you. And will keep you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. This is a different kind of pipe dream. The question on the table is, do any pipe dreams come true? The answer, once again, is it depends on who they were birthed from. This was not birthed by Jacob. He didn't come up with a strategy. He didn't see something and want to act. Rather, God showed him something, and God showed him his own actions. And I want you to notice something powerful in this particular section on what he sees. He only really sees two things. He sees a ladder, and he sees the Lord. He sees a ladder, and he sees the Lord. He sees a ladder, and he sees the Lord. Now, what is interesting about the ladder is that the ladder is spanning, and the ladder is serving. The ladder is spanning from heaven to earth, and the ladder is serving angels, descending and ascending on it. In other words, there's this ladder, this portal, this, to use Mario language, this pipe that connects one world to another. And somehow through this pipe, this plumb line, he is able to enter into a different space and place. And Jacob sees this ladder, and he's blown away by this ladder, because this ladder doesn't stop short of heaven. It reaches all the way to heaven, and it comes all the way to earth. It does not come short. Jesus would pick up this language. And he said, you will see the Son of Man. And he said, you will see the angels of God ascending and descending on it. You know, calling himself the ladder. Saying that he is the full connecting point between heaven and earth. And he does not come short.
That's good.
Maybe that don't matter to you because you didn't hear the sermon on the city of Babel. Where they tried. They had a fanciful plan. To build a tower that reaches to heaven. But it came up short. came up short. What they tried to strategize for in Babel, God freely gives in Bethel. Are you still babbling? Or are you Betheling? Are you still trying to enter the blessing by force? Are you still trying to enter the blessing by faith? See, when we enter the blessing by faith, it is given to us. But when we try to enter the blessing by force, we will exhaust ourselves and still hear these haunting words in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death. You're going to put all your effort in. You're going to put all your strategy in, all your fanciful planning in. And at the end of the day, it will only lead to a paycheck that reads death. But the free gift, the gift, the offering, the present, is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord, the ladder, the connecting point between heaven and earth, who did not come short of connecting us. Look no further than the torn veil. It's almost as though what Jacob here sees is like Mario with like pipes and like Toads and Toadettes. Going from one world to another. Except these Toads and Toadettes are carrying a heavy message. They're carrying a message that we don't understand until the New Testament. Do you know that the word angel really is just messenger? Sometimes we get so fixated on what they look like and we forget what they're talking about. But notice the angels of God are descending and ascending on the ladder. Maybe this is why Jesus said, "I am the ladder," points out that the angels of God are ascending and descending on it, because the message that the messengers are carrying are tied to the person who is the ladder.
Yeah, that's good.
The ladder. But he also sees the Lord. He sees the Lord at the top of the ladder, sitting at the top. It just feels swaggy to me. Just like I almost see the Lord like this. Just standing on that jump. Like, what's good, homie? Jacob got some stuff for you. Some promises I'm going to fulfill. So, you know how we already in negotiation mode because we know we don't deserve whatever promise he's about to say. So the Lord, make it clear, don't get it twisted. This really don't got nothing to do with you. You are just a byproduct recipient of grace and an agreement that I had with somebody else.
Right.
So he repeats the promise back to him, and it's a beautiful promise. I'm going to make you like the dust of the earth. I'm going to be with you wherever you go, and I ain't going to leave you till I fulfill this promise. What an amazing promise that Jake, and notice, ain't nothing got to do with him. We make everything about, well, you know, no, it is all about what he is going to do for Jacob. Now, I want you to notice after what he sees, I want you to notice what Jacob says. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." I'm going to read that again. "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." Surely the Lord is in the place, and I did not know it. It's funny, when the ladder comes from heaven to earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, John 1 says that he came to his own and they did not recognize him.
Wow.
In other words, they did not know it.
Wow.
John picks up this language even deeper. He says the word became flesh, tabernacle, set up a tent among us.
Yeah.
You know, housed God among us. The Lord was in that place and they did not know it.
Yeah.
Oh. I ask you the question, do you know where the presence of God is found today?
Wow, come on.
Do you know that a new Bethel has come?
Yeah.
And that Bethel has another name, Emmanuel. Bethel meaning house of God, Emmanuel meaning God with us.
Yeah.
that he came and tabernacled among us, set up his tent among us, there is a new Bethel in town. And yet many did not and still do not know it. That Bethel is so amazing that he can turn a cafeteria into a Bethel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on, God. Yeah.
And people could walk away. The Lord was in that place.
Yeah.
And I did not know it.
Yeah.
We started over in the Regents building. Y'all know he's on the 16th floor. Praise God for people who doing well. Put us on the 16th floor in an office building. Technical and all of that. But God turned that into a Bethel.
Yeah, yeah.
The presence of God was in that place.
Yeah.
And yet some did not know it.
Yeah.
Friends, I want you to know that your little rinky-dinky closet in your house,
yeah.
And maybe I'm only describing mine, tight with that jaw. My wife somehow fit a bookshelf in it so I can call it an office. Everywhere I turn, I'm bumping something. But God can turn that into a Bethel.
Yeah.
The Lord is in that place.
Yeah.
And I'm going to know it.
Yeah.
What Bethels are around you?
Yeah.
What places does the Lord want to show up in?
Yeah.
Well, I want you to know that the whole mission of the kingdom of God, the answer is everywhere.
Yeah.
He wants every square inch of this world to be his when it's all said and done. And he will accomplish his promise.
Yeah.
North, south, east, and west, up, down, left, and right. He is going to have it all. It will all be Bethel.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because Bethel has come in a person, and his name is Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
So what is the only response? Fear. What? You mean not shouting? Not dancing? I will dance like David. Dance. Any Fred Hammett? Nope.
Yeah.
I saw shaking heads. It's cool. With messages like that, we usually get happy and want to dance. We rarely get afraid and want to tremble. But when people see God in the scriptures, though, not on TikTok. When people see God in the scriptures, though, not on Instagram. When people see God in the scriptures, though, the first thing they do is get terrified.
Yeah.
And we can make it all nice and clean it up. God don't want you to be afraid of him. He just wants you to respect him. Cats is going hiding from the presence of God.
Yeah.
That sounds like respect. I respect you, so I run away. No, they're afraid. Because the holy presence of God should haunt you. Feel the weight of that, yo. Feel the weight of that, yo. And real rap, the reason why, going on the heels of what we've been talking about today from prayer time all the way to this time, that many of us don't know how to linger in the closet is because we actually know the presence of God causes fear. And we don't like that discomfort.
Wow, come on.
So we make our prayer to prayer time quick. And we try to fit prayer in. You ever had a meeting where, Jesus, a pastor, I'm giving some stuff away. I just got to say it now. We're like, you really ain't want to meet with that person. So you put them in between two other things. So you know you got a time slot. Y'all don't have to say amen. I know it's true. Y'all just scared to death. So you put them in a time slot. So you know, yo, I got bookends. Because maybe you've been meeting with that person and just don't feel like it's going nowhere, whatever. So you put them in a time slot. It's a shame when Jesus does, when we do that with Jesus, yo.
Come on.
Wow.
We really don't want to meet with him. So we put him within a time slot.
Wow.
I know I got work on this end and I know I got to meet with somebody on this end. So I'll give you this 15 minutes. 10 minutes, 5 minutes. Let me squeeze my time in with you. And a lot of it, I'm telling you, is because when we're silent before the Lord for a little too long, fear sets in. We start to tremble. We start to be afraid. It's very, very, very uncomfortable. But notice the text. It doesn't stop with fear. He says, how awesome. I'm sure the King James Version will probably say how awful, but how awesome is this place? This is none other, notice the language, than the house of God. That's where Bethel comes from. Beth, house, El, God. House of God, and this is the gate of heaven. This is the house of God and heaven's gate. This is the place where God's presence is housed, and this is the place where God's presence is accessed. Wow. Now, it's very interesting that he ties both of them right to that place. Because it's one thing to know the location of the place of the presence of God. It's another thing to have access to that place.
Yeah, that's true.
I can know all day about where the White House is, but I can't get inside of them gates. I need both a gate opener and somebody to tell me where that address actually is. It's almost like I need the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
I need all three. I need someone who can make a way to the place and also be the destination.
Yeah.
The language of this text is so strong that Jesus once again picks this up. And he says, anybody who tries to get in another way is a thief and a robber. Now, y'all didn't hear me.
Wow.
They're a thief and a robber.
Mm-hmm.
They're a thief and a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to make sense for you in a second.
I got it, Doc.
Anyone who says there's another access point into the presence of God ain't just off, they're evil. And we be out here, pastors, not y'all, pastors, playing games and saying, well, they see things differently.
Yep.
But they still calling themselves Christians, though. If they say there's another access point, thief, criminal.
Yeah.
And I am like, I am so passionate about this because the reason why I'll be out in these streets trying to share the gospel with Christians, though, who themselves now believe, well, yeah, you know, Jesus is for me, but if Allah's for you, it's cool. It's because they're regurgitating something that they heard from pastors, though. And what we'll do, pastors like myself, with the same convictions as me, on the same side as me, we'll say, I'm on this side, but if somebody has another view, if a pastor has another view, it's cool. But Jesus says anyone who tries to get in another way is a thief and a criminal.
Yeah.
Are y'all hearing me in here?
Yeah.
This is so true that this is why Jesus is just like, y'all want to close off other nations from hearing about the way, the truth, and the life? I'll just show up in their dreams. I don't need to wait for you. This should actually help our evangelism because Jesus really don't need to wait for you. He's inviting you in. I love how Matt Chandler said it. It's like a parent bring your child to work day. You don't know how to do that job. Daddy is allowing you to think that you know how to be a doctor. Jesus is letting you play the part of sharing the gospel with somebody, and somebody being converted, and you get to have the joy. Whoa, look at that.
Yeah.
It's like when he commissioned disciples, I'm giving you authority to go cast out demons. They came back, we did it, Daddy. And he didn't even know that. He's like, that's awesome, kids, that's awesome. Don't rejoice in that, though. Rejoice in your name is written somewhere. So now we just can share the gospel freely because if he really wanted to, and he is, he could just show up in dreams.
Yeah.
My wife is just reading a bunch of books on martyrs, and one of these books, the title was like something like crazy. I think it was We Died Before We Left. I don't even get that. It's somebody from the States who went to another nation, and a lot of their friends was like, oh man, you don't want to go there because it's a bad nation and they might actually persecute you or beat you, or even worse, they might kill you. He said, we died before we left.
Wow.
In other words, they can't kill what is already dead. My life is not my own. And so they tell this story of how they're sharing the gospel and they're not seeing a lot of fruit. They're sharing the gospel and not seeing a lot of fruit. And then one day, this young Muslim man who they've been just having a relationship with, he one day has a dream. Now, he's still Muslim, though. If there were multiple ways, multiple access points, multiple gates, Jesus would have seen his sincerity and just been like, you good, my guy. But Jesus somehow don't have our theology. So he shows up to him in a dream. And in the dream, the young man is feeding another city. But somehow in the dream, he's not feeding them food. He's feeding them a book called Luke.
Wow.
I want to knock everything. Like, I just want to break all this here. He's feeding them Luke.
Wow.
We out here feeding the sheep opinions.
Wow. Wow. My God.
Come on, preach.
He's feeding them Luke.
Yeah.
Now, he a Muslim, though. And he said, I only know one other person who ever talked about this word, Luke.
Wow.
So he goes to these friends. He says, I remember y'all mentioning Luke. I had this dream. There was a man who was like very bright and all white. And he wanted me to feed this other city. And yet it wasn't food. He wanted me to give these people a book called Luke. And I remember you mentioning Luke. Do you have any copies?
Wow.
They gave him copies of Luke, which is illegal. And he started smuggling Lukes into another city. Before his conversion, though.
But
stick with me here. All because of a dream, though. After God used a sinner who ain't believing in him yet to participate in his sovereign plan to save souls, he comes back from God employing a non-believer to the friends who gave him the book Luke and said, now let's talk about what I just gave. And through walking through the text, he gives his life over to Jesus and begins to follow him.
Wow. Hallelujah.
Y'all want a word? Or y'all want the word?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
And notice this, y'all. It all started with a dream.
Yeah.
With a dream. That's a whole bunch of types of dreams. Don't believe every dream.
Yeah.
Let me just say it all real. We got funny random dreams. I remember one dream I had. It took place like I was in Jesus' day because I was wearing like everybody was wearing robes and like we was walking around with like sandals and I was, you know, stylish with mine on. You know what I mean? And then, you know, all of a sudden we was trying to go to this like land that was far away, and then somebody pulled out their GPS. And real rap, I literally laughed myself awake. Because somehow in my psyche, I knew, like, this is just a dream. This is the most random thing in the world. I laughed myself awake and had to tell. That's a random dream. We also got, like, nightmares. Just scary nightmares where you know, with the random funny dream, I think it's, like, God's way of just helping to wake us up with a light heart. Then we got scary dreams, dark dreams. And it wakes us up with a burdened heart. But then there are some theological dreams. Anybody dreamed of like hell before? Like some, oh, nobody want to raise their hand? Okay, well, that's cool. Well, I hope you never have to go through that. But it was like, I remember when I was a kid, I remember, I didn't understand all of what the dream meant, but I remember I was super into playing drums at the time. And like God allowed for me to experience a dream where like I was locked in a room with a drum and like hay all over it. And I couldn't get out of that room. It was like I was locked in with my idol forever. That thing hit me so crazy, y'all. And I don't know what kind of dreams have spoken to you, but all I'm trying to say here is don't be dismissive of those things, because God does indeed speak through dreams. But here's the important factor, though. Let's not interpret them by ourselves. Perfect unity. Share that joint with somebody. Wise, though. Wise. Share that joint with somebody. Wise. Say wise.
Wise.
Say wise.
Wise.
One time, say wise. Because we be out here dreaming dreams, and then we decide to do something crazy, and the Lord ain't saying. Share it with somebody wise. Say wise.
Wise.
But through this particular dream, I want you to notice something. This deceiver, this trickster, this schemer, this planner, this strategizer's life begins to change. And how do we know that? And what he does. It says, so early in the morning, I'm almost done, Jacob took the stone that he has put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at first. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear so that I will come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I've set up for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give a full tenth. His response ain't a lazy response, is it? But it is simply a response. He sees not a fanciful plan, but he sees an unattainable hope. A hope of glory, a hope of heaven, a hope of an access point between a place that we can't even conceive of in this broken, messed up place down here. And as he receives this portrait of this grace, this ladder that is going to come, his only response is to worship. But his worship ain't lazy, y'all. He does five things in this text. He constructs. Say constructs. He builds something. He goes and he starts to build this pillar. He constructs something. He consecrates. Say consecrates.
Consecrates.
He consecrates something. He pours oil on the situation. He pours oil on this place that he consecrates. That he constructs. Then he constitutes. Say constitutes.
Constitute.
He names the place. He says, yo, your name used to be Luz, but now it is Bethel. He covenants. Say covenants.
Covenants.
He covenants. He makes a vow, but then he commits. Say commits.
Commits.
He commits a tenth of all that he has.
Yeah.
The response to grace should and must not be lazy.
It's good.
We receive insane grace. And then we give like I wish you could see my fingers. Tiny obedience. And then we pat ourselves on the back for our tiny obedience. I remember, like, the first year I went without, you know, this is like during my high school years, without like, can I just say this? Without messing around with a girl inappropriately. You know how dope I thought I was? I'm like, Kanye. You can't tell me nothing. Can't nobody tell me I ain't the most obedient child in the world. I'm a real believer's believer. Real Christians out here. Swag it up. What we do out here? 1 year. Y'all know how reckless my life is now. 1 year. And I thought I'm out here killing the game. 1 year. Tiny obedience. Tiny obedience. Our boy Jacob gets to work. Can I ask you what your obedience looks like? Is your obedience lazy? It's just a response.
Wow.
Is your obedience half-hearted? It's just a response. Is your obedience lackluster? It's just a response. Whatever your obedience looks like is a dictation of what you think his grace actually is.
Wow.
Don't tell me how amazing. Help me. I've been in the reform world for a long time. So they got doctrines of grace. And I'll go places, do you believe in the doctrines of grace? And I'll say, even dudes who like just knew on this joint, yo, you believe in the doctrines of grace? I remember even pastor of the church, this dude came up, he, you know, hood boy, but he somehow got put on to some preachers out there. He's like, I can't be a part of this church if y'all believe in the doctrines of grace. And then I'll go like, all right, yo, let's get coffee because, you know, we got to talk. I always just start with like, let's just get together, man. I don't want to talk no doc. I just want to know your life. And you know how many dudes came to me about doctrines of grace, but they got lifestyles of depravity?
Wow. Come on, Doc. Wow.
Don't tell me what you believe. Show me. Show me. Show me. You know what you believe about the grace of God by what your obedience looks like.
That's right.
Jacob got to work. What are you doing, Christian? What are you doing? And the reason why he got to work, notice what he says. He just says four things. He said, this is all I need from God. He said, God will be with me, presence. Say presence. And will keep me in the way I go. Say protection. And will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear. Say provision. So that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then the Lord shall be my God. Say peace.
Peace.
Can I just say that again? Presence. Protection. Provision. And peace. Can I just ask a simple question? Have you experienced those things from Jesus?
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Have you experienced the peace of Jesus? His shalom. Perfect unity with him. Eirene in Greek. Have you experienced his peace? Have you experienced his provision? If you sit here, you've experienced his provision. Has he fed you? Has he given you water to drink?
Yes.
Has he clothed you? Has he given you a home?
Yes.
Has he provided for you?
Yes.
Has he protected you from some dangers that you saw and you didn't see?
Yes.
Has the Lord Jesus let you encounter his presence?
Yes.
If he's done those things, what will it take for your life, not your lips, to declare that he is my God?
Yeah.
What will it take? What will it take? What will it require? I want to say this. And some of y'all may experience moments of peace. Some of y'all may experience his protection. Some of you guys may experience his provision. But I want you to know there's only one way to experience his presence. There was only one access point, into the presence of Almighty God.
Yeah.
Wow. And it is through the Bethel incarnate.
Yeah.
That's right.
2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus came doing what Jacob did in response. For what Jacob did in response was a response to something that was going to come in the future. He came constructing, building his church. And he says, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of what? Hell shall not prevail against it. He came consecrating the church as he poured out the Spirit of God upon both men and women, boys and girls. We now have been anointed with the oil of gladness. He came constituting the church, giving us a brand new name. We were once not a people, but now we are God's people. We had once not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. He came. Thank you. Covenanting with us. Providing for us a meal. His body and his blood. For a covenant always had to be accomplished in blood. So the Lord Jesus came covenanting with us. And if that wasn't enough, he came and committed to us far more than a tithe. For the text says, if he did not spare his only son, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? The Lord Jesus Christ is our ladder. He is our leader, and he is the Lord. Or if you want to use Mario, he is our plumb line. He is our hero, and he is our other world. Or to use Jesus' own words, he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. For the Lord Jesus Christ came doing what we could not do. He lived an altogether perfect life. He never was jealous of anyone. He never envied anyone. There was no scheming, and the text says there was not even deceit found in his mouth. He perfectly always pleased God and had the Father's full approval. And yet though he had the Father's full approval, he co-opted with us. He shared life with us. And because he shared life with us, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says he had to not just take on sin, he had to become it. But this was all a part of the plan to defeat the game. You know, Mario, you had to jump on a boss 3 times to beat them. And so in the wilderness, he defeated temptation by 3 times, quoting the scriptures. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he defeated the flesh by 3 times, praying, not my will, but your will be done. He hung on the cross for 3 hours. He was buried in a tomb for 3 days, and it was almost as though he saved his best for last, because he had to defeat that ancient serpent, you know, that reptile, Bowser in some sense, Satan in another. And he, on the 3rd day, after pouncing on Satan's head 1 day, and pouncing on Satan's head for 2nd day, on that 3rd day, yes, his heel was bruised, but he crushed the head of the snake, of the serpent, that ancient Bowser. And he rose from the dead with all star power in his hand. I can almost see Jesus. Dun, 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 dun. It's like it was light work for him. My pastor brought up, he folded his clothes. Like when you got star power, you ain't jumping on stuff no more. You running through that junk. Our Jesus ran through the grave, ran through the tomb, ran through death, ran through corruption, ran through sin. And then, before he ascended, he blew on the people of God. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. He rose with star power, but he gave us firepower. And then it's like he suited up in that raccoon suit. saints. He is ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Hear me, y'all. All of this was to prove that he was in control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That he's the controller, the joystick. For he who was the second Adam, R.A., shed his blood, Abi, went down into the grave, left the tomb, went up into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
Wow.
All the, so that he might select you.
Wow.
And give you a new start. Until the day he comes in power and presses reset for the whole cosmos. There is coming a day where there will be no crying anymore, no sin anymore, no suffering anymore, no pain anymore. All things will be new through the power and work of the Lamb of God.
Hallelujah.
So the question on the table, do pipe dreams come true? Only if those dreams come from the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word.